brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the rainy island nation of Sri Lanka, where, yes, my truck has returned to me. A week in the shop, and my pulpit was down. This is the place where I seem to get a chance to speak and to share whatever it is that God puts on my heart. Is driving around in a 20-year-old truck on the island nation of Sri Lanka in traffic. But you know what? Hey, thank God for the places, for the times, for the things, for the chances to connect, for that which He allows us to do. It's all a blessing from Him. You know, there's experiences of life that we are intended to go through. And as much as there is a part of us that wants to go home, I mean, I know that, and I feel that with the people of God, so many, there's just that desire in you. You want to just go home. You want to be done with it all. You want to be with Him. You want to be released from this life, from this prison. And yet, because this earth, this planet, is designed as a prison planet. And part of what life in Christ is being set free from that prison. And being set free begins within. You know, something that I saw and something that God taught me was, if you are free within, if you are free within, it doesn't matter your external circumstance. And likewise, if you are bound within, again, it doesn't matter your external circumstance. There were people that were put in jail, followers of Christ, jailed for their faith, and yet they were free. Free because in their spirit, they were released. In their spirit, nothing had a hold on them. And likewise, there are people that are mobile in the eyes of the world and go to and fro and do this and that and hoop it up and booze and drink and do all kinds of stuff. And yet, inside they are bound and prisoners. And God wants people to be free. For freedom, Christ set us free. It is an end in itself to be free and to live free and to be what God made you to be. And you know, the thing is that this world is pre-programmed. The DNA of the world and the world system is towards slavery. Therefore, when somebody begins to step out and step away from that slave system, that slave state, that person now becomes a target because the world is set as a prison. You know, like, I mean, think about a natural prison, right? Okay, what happens when the prisoners try to escape or escape? Do they just sit there and let them go? No. They want them back inside there. And when you are set free, and when you begin to walk out a life of freedom in Christ Jesus, the DNA of the world system is to bring you back into bondage. It's to bring you back under that place of servitude to the system. In your spirit, in the core of your being. Whereas God would liberate you from all of that. You know, one way that you can test in your spirit if the world's got a hold on you is, are you willing to let go of anything and everything in your life for that which Christ would have for you? Or do you value those things so much that you would let go of truth and your relationship with Christ in order to maintain whatever it is that is? It is a spiritual state of being, whether you're free or not. And the natural, how things manifest in the natural, that is in and of itself, you know, that's something that God does, God designs. Now, God allows for your natural circumstances to force the issue within. So that's what he uses so much of the time, the external environment for, is to force the natural situation. Whereas in the realm of spirit, you know, you can move from glory to glory and strength to strength. You need not be bound. God intended for us to be free. You know, this last, oh gosh, well, actually, last several years have been pretty amazing, the dynamics, the twists and the turns, the good, the bad. And, you know, in it all, I've seen God's hand. I've seen God's work in my spirit to make me what He wants me to be. And it's been painful. Oh, let me tell you, it is painful to be in the fire, to be in the press, to be stretched, to be tried on every side, to be accused wrongfully. Yeah, it's not easy. But, alas, God is in it. And when you come through that process, when you come to the other side, there's something amazing that happens inside of you. That which takes place, you won't trade it after it's done. I mean, you think about the gold that's refined in the furnace. Once you have that which is precious, you appreciate it for what it is. It has value. It becomes that keepsake. Whereas, when something is common, when something is easy, when something is not refined, it's not worth as much. When we don't go through the trials and the tests of life, our faith is not worth that much because it's not been tested. But when your faith is tested, when your whole being is just strained and shot, it is in that time. It's in that place where God then puts something inside of you that is of value, that is of merit, that lasts, that you appreciate when you're done. See, you and I, we have to appreciate what God has done in us. And part of the way that that happens is what He brings you through and carries you through and saves you from and delivers you from and proves you right, vindicates you. You know, God is oftentimes, He has done that work inside and turned the tables when it's been necessary. So you will get shot at, you will get hunted, you will get destroyed, and yet, in that process, all of that stuff that comes against you, God will, in His due season, His due time, vindicate you. Show that you are His. Show that He loves you and that He is with you. And all of the things that you would go through are part of His plan and His destiny for your life. Firing ground for the things of life and the things of spirit, and a testing place to find out and to be tried by fire and to find out where it is that God is working with you and what it is that He would have to do in your life. You know, I was talking to a dear sister in Christ recently, and she was just very frustrated with, you know, all of the trials and all of the difficulties and why it seemed like for herself you know, just one after the next, after the next, after the next. And even when she would do the right thing and try to do everything as, you know, good, right, with a good heart, and yet it would backfire on her. And she would end up in another bad situation. And, you know, part of this and part of that struggle is what God also allows us to go through. And I know that's a hard thing to come to terms with, because, you know, so often the idea is, all right, if you are walking with God and you're doing the right things, then things should work out. They should be better, right? Okay. The book of Proverbs, if you're looking for natural wisdom, the book of Proverbs has a lot of it for, you know, what it takes to have a successful life. So those principles are in there. And if you live your life according to that book and the principles that are in there, yeah, you'll have a lot of natural success. Solomon being the example of the contents of that book and a life lived according to, you know, those first 31 chapters, which, you know, interestingly for me, the Song of Solomon comes after, not Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. So, you know, one of those biblical humor jokes was always, what's the difference between Proverbs and Ecclesiastes? And 700 wives and 300 concubines, I think. So, no, never mind. But anyways, yeah, Solomon, he wrote some, God had him put, I mean, other people contributed, of course, but that's natural wisdom, you know, God-given wisdom for a successful life, quote-unquote. But that said, there are things that God has us do, directions that God leads us, that when it comes to the natural, it sometimes you're like, okay, why? Why would I go this way? Why would I end up in these difficult situations, these trials, these tests, time and time and time again? And, you know, when you enter a season like that, a couple things to check. You know, one thing is to check, is this a result of sin? Is this a result of repeated disobedience and a lifestyle set against the express will and purpose of God? Because if that's the case, yeah, you're going to suffer. But that suffering is long-term and has no godly benefit. Then there's another type, which comes for doing the will of God. And in that course, God allows us to be tried, to be tested, to be fired by just the experiences of life. They just burn the very core of our soul. And yet in those experiences that we face, He's there. And He's allowing those things to happen to take us to a higher level, to refine us, to teach us, to give us that wisdom in practice. See, there's such a difference between having book knowledge about something and actually living it. There's a huge difference between living the Gospels and reading the Gospels. You know, there's a lot of people, I remember doing some of my much more churchy days, and people would go and they would sit down and they would do these extensive word studies to try to understand the scripture and the depth of the scripture, and, you know, and what this one word meant, and this Greek word, and all the deepness and the richness of what that word would mean. And but you know what? It's like talking about a sunset versus sitting there and watching the sunset. There is something about the experience of life in walking with Christ, the rawness of life of being His, that you can never, ever communicate outside of living it for yourself. Yes, you can show people to a degree. They can see your life, they can understand bits and pieces, You can share what you can. You can write about it. But until they live it for themselves, they never know. They won't ever understand the struggle and the pain that you feel and being a child of God in this life. Because you, as a child of God in this life, you are light. You are salt. You are part of that great witness, that great cloud of witnesses walking through this earth and through the experience of this world. And in that process of you walking through this, you feel and you're sensitive because you're alive. So you feel the pain, you feel the hurt, you empathize with the experiences that you see with the hurts of others. And in that process too, because you do shine bright as a light in a dark place, because of that, when you go through this life and this world, the things that you experience, what happens too is that the world marks you. Because in the realm of spirit, they sense the light of truth in you. And they don't like that light. So the end result of it is, hey, they lash out at you. They attack you. They discourage you. They treat your good as something evil. It's not a healthy situation, but it is something that God allows for a window and a season. Because see, here's one thing too, is that when you've gone through some tough times, you really appreciate when you have something good. When you have, look, when you've had some bad health, when you have good health, you really appreciate it. Because you know how precious it is. You don't squander it then. When you know what it's like to struggle financially, and then when that provision is there, you appreciate it because you know what it was to go through that. And you know, this life, when we go on into eternity, because this life is short, it's a vapor, it's a passing window, very quick. And in what we experience in this life is short. So what we experience here and now, what we go through in this window of time, that you will appreciate eternity. Because you will see and know and understand what it is that God has done for you. And what it is that He saved you from. And what it is that we have being in oneness and unity with Him. For all eternity you'll be His. And He will be yours. And we experience a shadow of that right now. But we also experience the pain of this life and this world. And of others that are cut off from light and truth, and live their lives in darkness, live their lives in shadow, live their lives bowed down to a world system that is cruel and offers them, outside of their trinkets and their accolades one to another and all of the rest, offers them nothing but emptiness and vanity. That's why they sedate themselves. That's why the push and the drive is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Because all of those things, distraction, all of those things give momentary temporal relief to an otherwise very, very dismal situation. There's nothing there. The world has nothing to offer you. The world has nothing to give you. But the world will take, it'll take that which is dear, that which is precious, that which was meant to endure. It'll claim your soul if you give it. If your free will is given over to that world system, it will take that chunk out of you. There's emptiness in the world. But you know what? To him, him who the sun sets free is free indeed. And when you, by your free will, cry out to him, God finds a way to set you free. God finds a way to liberate your soul. God finds a way to, in His time, bring you out. You know, Joseph had a timing. There was a timing of God for Joseph's life. He had to go into Egypt as a slave. He had to go into the dungeon, falsely accused and evil spoken of. I mean, you know, I think about that. Poor guy, you would say in the natural. But you know the rest of the story. And when you know the rest of the story, you say, thank God. Because through what he went through his suffering, through his endurance, through his patience, under the word of God, what God had spoken over him, under his patience, it was at that right time the word of God proved him true. At that right time, God proved him true. And not until then, not until that optimal time, 13 years before God sprung him. And you know what? As soon as Joseph got promoted into Pharaoh's court, that wasn't the end of the troubles that he had. By no means. You know, even though he was the second highest ruler in the land, you think that they wanted him there? You know, he would have experienced a lot of things. But he grew each time, each step, solidified in the power of God on his side, the will of God on his side, to subdue his enemies under his feet, to liberate him, to set him free, and to use his life for something amazing. And you and I have that destiny. But we have to go through that which God intends for us to go through in order to get to that place. You know, God does not want you to miss what he's doing. And the easy road, the quick exit. You know, Potiphar's wife was the quick exit for Joseph. That was the easy way out. All he had to do was play ball. All he had to do was, hey, he's a slave. He's got a pretty good position in the house. The master's wife has given him the eye. All he had to do was play ball. And he would have been on easy street. But he stayed true to the conviction of God in his heart. He stayed true to what it was that God had spoken to him. He stayed true and he refused. He refused. Though he was a slave in Egypt, he maintained his integrity. He maintained his call. And that call led him into a more difficult place, a more destructive circumstance in the natural. I mean, his neck was bruised with fetters. I mean, he experienced the dungeon. 2 years. I think it was 2 years. No, it was more than that. It was just 2 years before the baker came out. Oh, not the baker, the cupbearer. After he had come out. So, he experienced the prison. But in God's time, God did something with him. And you know, a lot of people, they give up just a stone throw away from the liberation that God has for them. And you know what? If you feel like that, you're in good company. You're in good company. When you feel like that, when you are overwhelmed and there is nothing left that you feel you can do or say, and your heart is broken inside of you, and you have been stretched to the max, in that time, in that season, in that window, realize that those that walk with Christ have come before, have been in the same season, in the same time, in the same place, in the same state of despair, and they all called out on the one that saves, and he saved them. He saved them. He is our Savior, and he hears when we reach out to him. He hears us. You know, there's times in my own life where I've been so exhausted, so discouraged, so put down that, you know, even to read the word, it's just like, you know, you don't even want to, you know, because it's just, you just, it's not that you don't desire the things of God, but you're just so exhausted with dealing with all of it. But even in those times, you know, I call those audio Bible times, because at least, you know, and now you can just put it on. There's even lots of web applications where you can just click and you can just let it play in the background while you brush your teeth. Hey, just get the word out there. But even in those times, God knows. And even in those times, you can call out to him, and he will be there for you. He will touch you in your circumstance. He will meet you where you're at. And he will give you the relief and the release and the peace that you desire, that you're requesting of him. You know, that tearing of your soul is something that God allows, but it's for a season. And you have to understand that it's for a season. This is not your eternal state, so don't worry about it. Thank God that you're in it. Thank God for the trial. Thank God for the things that you face. And realize that they are for a window and a period of time. And in God's time, he will bring you out. In God's time, he will set you free. But you have to have faith and you have to have perseverance, because if you don't, you're going to give up. You're going to look for the exit door. And like the children of God in the wilderness, you know, those tests came. And so often, they didn't follow through. They failed the tests. I mean, Jesus in the wilderness, the temptations came, and he passed with flying colors. But all of them were the exit door, the easy way, the quick way out. And Jesus didn't take it. To him who overcomes, that is the call of God unto the people of God, even in this time, even in this age. To him who overcomes, God is desiring that you would move into that place. Trust him, because you know what also? God's grace is sufficient for you. And what is God's grace? Grace is the omnipotent power of God that works on our behalf. So that complete and total power of God working on your behalf, his grace is sufficient for you, sufficient for me. That once he puts you in an assignment, he gives you the power, his power, to be able to do that assignment. And that's what you have to trust. You have to trust that he is going to do this through you. And this is where, too, you again come to the end of yourself. Because part of that prayer is, Lord God, I cannot do this in and of myself. I cannot do this without you. Lord, I trust you to do through me what I cannot do. Your will be done. You know, when you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, you are inviting the presence and the lordship and him to work through you in all situations, him to provide his solution at all times. You're inviting that. And God desires that you would be free, that you would walk in him, that you would know the truth, and that the truth would set you free, that you would live the abundant life that he intended for you. And he will, in his own way, find the way to remove every obstacle, every constraint, everything that keeps you from the lordship of His abundant life in you, if that's what you desire. Because delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And if the desires of your heart is Him, and to delight yourself in Him, He's going to give that to you, because it's going to work itself out. He's going to find a way to make that happen in you. And you just got to trust. You just got to persevere. You just got to go forward and go through. So, you know, you don't have to worry. You know, because the other thing too is that worry won't change anything. Like Jesus said, you know, who by worrying can add a cubit to their stature? You can't. You can't change. There's a lot of things in this life that you can't change. So, to worry and to fret about it, not going to do anything. No. Rather, place your heart in His hands. Allow Him to lead and direct you. Allow Him to show and to guide. To give you the strength. You know what? When you have no more strength, good. Because He's got to break you and bring you to that point so that you'll trust in Him. When you have no more strength, trust Him and pray. And He will put strength in you. It'll be His strength flowing through you. You know, He always knows the way to encourage your heart. I have seen that, and it's a wonderful thing. At the point of just absolutely no more, you can take no more, you can do no more, you need relief, you need release. And once you've been stretched and you let Him stretch you past everything that you could have thought or imagined, then you see what He can do. When you stop early, you remain awfully sane, very boring, and dead. The thief comes only to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And what does the thief say? What does the worlder say? What does the prince of the power of the air say? Save your life. Save your life in this world. And that's how he steals from you. That's how he robs you. That's how he destroys you. Because God is cultivating you with the abundant life. God is pushing you so that that purpose would be manifest in and through you. God is teaching you. He desires that you would know the truth, that the truth would set you free. But in order to know that truth, you got to experience some things. It's got to be consummated with your soul, so that you can live. Oh, I tell you, it is a good day to be a child of God. And it doesn't take much, my brothers and my sisters, for your entire situation to change. And that's one thing you have to always remember, is that no matter how bad or how good your situation might seem at any given moment, it can change very, very quickly. And so, whatever the situation life may find you in, trust Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. And look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, to do His will, His plan, His purpose in and through you. And rejoice in whatever situation you may find yourself. Because the peace of God will guard your hearts as you look to and trust in Him. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We read the ones that come in. Yes, we do. And, you know, we know we got to get back to some of you. You know, we have read them and we appreciate the mails. So, hey, God bless you guys. And keep on keeping on. All right, talk to you later. Bye.